Spurs and challenges this year, and I trust that there will be some amazing testimonies this year that you'll be able to come forward and say, well, I had this massive challenge, but my God was faithful, and this is what He did. He took my test and He turned it into a testimony. Amen. So tonight, what's this? Wow, Pietro, this is really I'm just so emotional right now, and this is awesome. Okay, so that was a staged stunt. That don't worry, these aren't actually mine. The gift. I don't know about you, but you know, giving gifts is great. Receiving gifts is sometimes even better. Okay, it's lekker to receive a gift that you really want, something that's really going to bless your life, improve your life. You know, maybe it's that one thing you've been like hoping is going to make things a little bit smoother or more comfortable or easier or whatever. It's lekker. You get excited about gifts. Now, I don't get super excited about chocolate. My wife does. So it was difficult for me. Actually, my acting skills aren't that good. So sorry if Pietri, but you did very well there. You did very well. I'm sure that everyone thought that was a genuine, you know, gift. But thanks anyway. It's the thought that counts. So yes, we all like receiving gifts, and God loves giving gifts. You know, there's precious little that we can actually give back to God. Nothing can kind of add up to what He has given us. But He is a generous Father. And, you know, if I go to walk through the Checkers Hyper or something like that, and they always have, you know, I like walking through the toy section. You know, I see a lot of things there that I would have loved to have when I was a kid, and I didn't get that. But it's difficult for me not to buy something for my kids when I walk through that, because it looks like, you know, the prices are really cheap for these amazing looking things, and you realize they're probably going to break quite quickly. But it's just like you want to see their faces light up when you walk through the door with this massive truck or something like that. And it's difficult not to give. Now, God is even more than that. He just loves blessing us. He loves giving us gifts. And you'll see where I'm going to go with this. You know, I'm going to get back to that idea just now. But starting with a scripture in Psalm 89, the heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. Okay? Everything that we see around us, everything natural, okay, God made before we came on the scene. God made it. We understand that God made us as well. Our lives, the breath that He breathed into us, He wove us together in our mother's womb. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. We owe Him everything. The Word even says that, you know, it goes on to say and to specify that He gave us also the ability to obtain wealth. He gave us our talents, our gifts, our abilities. And so, when we go Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday, the weekly grind at the workplace, you're not working for your boss or the company. And it's not your boss or the company that is paying you your salary. If we come down to the bottom line, it is God. God gave you the ability to even work there. God opened the door for you to get a job there. God expects you not to work according to the standard that the company sets you. God expects you to work as unto Him, which is always going to be a higher standard. As believers, we ought to deliver work of the highest standard. That is our first and foremost, the most powerful testimony in our workplace, which is a place that these days people spend almost 80% of their time at the workplace. That's why you know your colleagues sometimes better than your family. All right? And first and foremost, we are working for God. He has given us that opportunity and that ability, and our work ethic, the standard of our work, is the biggest testimony to those people around us. Before we go and evangelize them and so on, let us make sure that our testimony is intact. We're not skipping work, you know, we're not spending the whole day in the kitchen and just talking to everyone and whatever and thinking that we're doing God's work, because if our work is not of a standard, I don't want to get too much off track, but just in line with this thing that, you know, everything that we have and everything that we do, it is for God ultimately. God is our source. And that's why if you're at work this year and your boss asks you to do something illegal, then the Christian thing to do is to refuse that, even if it costs you your job. And you know that God will provide for you because you're a person of integrity. You're following, first and foremost, God's laws. His laws are higher. So even if the boss says, no, but it's we always do that and whatever, you know, and it's not really going to make a big difference or whatever, just please do this thing for me. No. Say, sorry, you know, my conscience dictates, my faith dictates that I cannot do that. I believe that is not right. And so if I lose my job because of that, so be it. And God will reward you for your integrity, for your character, for your honesty, and for following Him first and foremost. We ought to fear God long before we think of fearing man. Okay, fear of man is not a good thing. It's not an admirable quality. So, we need to make sure that we are walking in integrity when it comes to the workplace. God has given us everything we have. He's given us our lives. He's given us our families. He's given us everything. Everything is a blessing. God gives without adding sorrow. Every good and perfect gift is from God. The things that bring sorrow in our life is things that the enemy has had a hand in. Killing, stealing, destroying. This is the enemy. So, sometimes the enemy would have us confuse those lines. And we need to use our discernment and realize that, okay, the enemy is a liar and he tries to put thoughts in our head and tries to accuse God before us, and he tries to accuse us before God, and that's what he does. He's the accuser, he's the deceiver, he's the father of lies, and we're not going to go for that. Okay, so God has given us everything. Now, when we understand that, we realize that everything we have actually belongs to Him. Okay, so we can possess something. We can have something in our possession. Now, the law will tell you that possession is 9/10 of the law. So, if you have it, it's yours. You know, I can't remember exactly how it was, but there's some sticky situations where someone can be riding your bicycle over there and you can't actually get it back from them because they've got it. No, kind of thing. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that, but We are managers. We are stewards. That's what a steward is. A steward is someone who manages something that belongs to someone else. Everything that we have belongs to God. So we are managing it for God. We are stewards of it. Which means also that God is going to require an account of what we did with what we have, with what we've been given. We all know the parable of the talents. Matthew 25. Okay, there's the master had three servants, and to one he gave five talents. A talent was like 3,000 shekels. I don't know, but it was quite a bit of money. You could do a lot with it. It's a shekel is a currency just for barter and trading. One he gave five talents, the other two, and the other one. Okay, and then he went away for some time, and Jesus is busy telling a whole lot of stories and parables of explaining to his disciples how the kingdom works, some kingdom principles, which are eternal and universal, true for us today. And so the master comes back, and the one who had been given five talents had gained five more. one who had been given two had gained two more, and the one who had been given one was afraid that he might lose that one, and he knew that his master will require an account. And so he tried to play safe and buried it, and when his master came, he just gave him the one back. And we know the response of the master, you know, and in the role play, it would be God towards us for the guys that actually managed to gain and add to their talents. And he said, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a little. I'll make you rule over much." And that's something, that is the response that we want to get, the number one response when we leave this earth. When we come face to face with the Lord again, we want Him to say those words to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that which I've given you in this short life," life is a preparation for eternity. "That which I've given you in the short life, you've been faithful with that. You've used that in the right way and optimized that, and you did well." The response he gave to the third servant that buried the one talent and only gave him back the one was, you know, "You wicked and lazy servant." And we know that his end was not a happy one. And obviously it's an illustration, and it's there to actually help us and guide us and warn us that God has given us a lot. If you have been given much, much will be required of you. Each of us have been given a lot. And we see maybe we can draw a lot from that parable. We can draw a lot of analogies and apply it to today. We've all been given different talents. And God will require different things from us as well. And so it's not about competing with, if the guy with two talents was competing against the guy with five, he would have felt like a real loser, but he got the same reward as the guy who gained five talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is what we want. So we need to ask ourselves, and it's a good time we can still say we're near the start of this year. What are the opportunities that are lying ahead? What have we been given? What do you have in your hands? There's a movie that we'll watch soon, which is very topical for South Africa. It's called Butter Deer. It was made by Frans Cornier, who made the Hansi movie and so on, and Faith Like Potatoes. And it's about a man who loses his job, and, you know, he really struggles to get work, but then he basically gets challenged to use what he has, and all he has is a bicycle, and he ends up becoming this great cyclist and winning races and whatever. And so I want to challenge you tonight as well. One of the thoughts I want to leave with you is to ask yourself, what do you have? Some of us are aware of some of the opportunities, some of the challenges that lie ahead this year, but what do you have? What has God given you in your hand? There's a saying that says, you know, God helps those who help themselves, but it's just kind of the place where God requires our cooperation. He's not going to do everything for us. We cannot sit back on the couch and say, "Okay, God, I'm your child, make it happen." No, a child in the house has responsibilities. And God will require of us. Otherwise, we just stay in nappies and we stay babies, and that's not what God wants. In order to grow our character, in order to get to know our God better, we've got to start walking a road. And that road is going to include persecution and suffering. It's not always going to be plain sailing being a child of God. It was no different with Jesus Christ. Obviously, most of us probably wouldn't have to end up paying the ultimate price. But would we even be prepared to? And that's maybe a sermon for another day. But what do we have in our hands? What has God given us to steward, to manage for Him? Because we've got to give it back. Can't leave this world with it. The Pharaohs, well, they didn't find that out because they were dead. Okay, the grave robbers found that out, that they couldn't leave with all their jewels and their treasures. Now, I want to submit to us tonight, because we don't have all night and there's a lot we can say about these things, Acts chapter 2. I want to talk about what might be the greatest gift that we've received. Peter replies, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, just the word gift conjures up thoughts of something that is precious, something that's valuable, something that has meaning, something that will add, something that should bring joy to the recipient, something that will be treasured, something that is special. And when it's coming from God, then you got to know it is truly special. And it is sad that, you know, at Christmas time, and you know, I know we don't have any Chinese people here tonight, but you get a lot of Chinese products are good. Other ones get mass-produced and aren't of the best quality. And children across the world get inundated with Chinese toys over Christmas time. And I can testify that a number of them don't make it to Boxing Day. Okay, the quality is not always there. But you can know that God would feel the same way, because it saddens me if I have to give my son a toy, and you know, he's a strong lad, and he likes throwing as well. And he might, instead of picking up the ball to throw it against the wall or something outside now, then he might pick up maybe this toy and throw it or something like that, and there will be consequences for that. We're training him. Okay. But that would make me sad if I came home with excitement to give him this toy and then the next day it's broken. You know, that kind of breaks my heart a little bit. Because there is a saying that goes, reject the gift, reject the giver. So if you break the gift that I give you, it's you know, it kind of would upset me. And when God talks about the Holy Spirit as a gift that He's giving to us, it's not just something, it's not one of the tools that we can use if we choose to. It is a gift. It's not many things referred to as gifts. But this specifically, the Holy Spirit, referred to as a gift. In other places, Jesus calls it the promise of the Father. This is something dear to God. Take the Holy Spirit out of the equation for a moment. Imagine. Imagine your life without the Holy Spirit. Where would we be? Well, we'd be no better off than the guys in the Old Testament with very limited means of communication with God. And I think we'd have to rely very heavily on the prophets once more and all of these things. I mean, there's many implications there. But Jesus came, and then He said He had to leave. After He went to the cross and did the work to pay for our forgiveness, He said He has to leave so that He can send the promise of the Father, so that He can send the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we have examples of people that the Holy Spirit came upon them at times. But today, I want to ask you, what is God's address? Does anyone want to venture to hazard a guess? Pietri, what is God's address? Yeah. Yes. Good stuff. Okay. God's address is in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God no longer lives in a temple built by man, built with hands. God cannot be contained in that way. He now lives in us. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why you must look after your body as well. If your body fails on you, you have destroyed the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you think that's going to please God? No. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, last year, the 9th of December, we spent a bit of time on the next scripture, which is in Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay, this is kind of phase two. Everyone that acknowledges Jesus as Lord is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides, lives in you. But guess what? It doesn't end there. It's not an unlimited warranty deal. There are five different sins that the Bible talks about against the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we can actually break this gift. We can ruin this. And we don't want to do that. What we want to do is we want to treasure that relationship. God is about relationship. It's not a thing. God is, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit can be saddened. The Holy Spirit talks to us. We can ignore the Holy Spirit, which is not a good thing. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can sin against the Holy Spirit. We can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We can do all of these things. But the Word says that we ought to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to continue the work that Jesus began. The Holy Spirit was sent to direct the church. In order to direct the church, the Holy Spirit needs to direct us as individual members. Now, last week, if you missed that, we spoke a bit about being purpose-driven for this year. We spoke a bit about the fact that God has put certain parameters in place and communicated to us, example, the Great Commission and so on, a general direction that we need to walk in if we are believers. In other words, we ought to be making disciples. This is why He has not raptured us yet, or at the point of salvation. We are here to make disciples. Sometimes we procrastinate, or we hesitate, or for whatever reason, we want to wait until we find our specific purpose, that thing that's just going to fall into place, and we know this is why I was born into this world. And until that point, we stay put. Now, God is moving. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Believers ought to be moving too. If you don't know specifically what you've been called for, you have been given a general mandate to go and make disciples. You are part of a church, the body of Christ. What is your church has a purpose and a vision. Move with that. Out of that, your specific vision will start becoming more clear. But we don't have to wait or procrastinate. We've got to be moving. The Holy Spirit is leading the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is directing the churches that make up the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is leading this church. That means we've got to follow. Now I encourage you, move with this church. This year, the Lord He's got awesome things in store for us. We've got a defined purpose that the Lord has given us within the body of Christ. That's why there's not only one church in Tableview, because there's so much to do. Each church has a slightly different function within the global body. And we are a legitimate part of the body here in Tableview. And the Lord is directing us to a specific part of Tableview and to minister the bulk of our ministry in specific areas and so on. And stick with us, move with us, and God will do the rest. God will make whatever your specific purpose is clearer to you as we go along. But the Holy Spirit is moving. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Can you sense that? Or do you, you know if you're taking your cues from God, or if you are actually doing your own things. When you drew up your plan for the year, or for the next 5 years, or whatever, maybe you're somewhere in that period at the moment, was God part of that planning process? Who is leading you? Because the way that you want to go is the way that the Spirit is leading. Then we are sons of God. A son is one that will inherit. A son is one that will receive that commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little, I'll make you ruler over much. A son stands to inherit. What we do for God in this lifetime will not go unrewarded. We serve a living God who's with us, who's watching us, who's giving us instructions that we are either following and heeding or we are not. And God knows. I'm not trying to manipulate or canvas members for any kind of a project or anything like that. I'm trying to encourage you to connect with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants to lead you every day. See, we can say we know the Holy Spirit, but are we submitting to Him every day? Because when we, as Stefan said, if we one day decide not to choose life, but we choose our own way, then you start veering off course, and one degree off course tomorrow, years down the line, you end up being very far from where you are meant to be. You see, God also doesn't require perfection from us. Do not be under condemnation here tonight. If you realize, but maybe you've never been led by the Holy Spirit, you don't understand this communicating with the Holy Spirit, what is this all about? All is not lost. In fact, it's very exciting, and we'll have opportunity to pray at the end so that we can just reconnect, or maybe for the first time connect with the Holy Spirit, so that we can take our leading from Him. But the Holy Spirit wants to take you from where you are now to where God wants you to be at the end of the day. And that is a process. Salvation is a process. That's going to take time, which means along the way you are still messing up, but you're heading in a direction. When Jesus comes into your life, when you become a temple of the Holy Spirit and you follow Him, you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you're on a road to holiness. You're not immediately holy. Okay. There is no one holy. The Pope is not holy. Sorry if I'm offending anyone here. We are mere men, all of us. There's one who is holy. But He will lead us to holiness. And it's not a losing battle, because if we stay faithful, if we stay on that path, yes, we'll never attain holiness, but when He comes back and finds us faithful in staying on that path and being led by the Holy Spirit, then He will glorify us in an instant. Ultimate salvation. And then you'll receive your redemptive body. You'll be perfected in an instant. So that is something to look forward to. But the Holy Spirit will lead us. And I just want to close with a parable that just precedes the one of the talents. And I find that interesting tonight as well, that Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit and then He talks about stewardship straight after that. Where we know the Holy Spirit is arguably the greatest gift that God gives us. And Jesus' words are harsh. Of the wicked and lazy servant, He says, there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. So He's telling the guys, this is a big deal. That which God gives you, we need to be serious about these things. We need to take seriously this year, if we haven't up to now, the things that God has given us. Our life, our salvation, the revelations that we have, the opportunities that we have to glorify Him, the leading of the Holy Spirit. When I wake up, God, it's not what I want today, it's what You want. Lead me. God is so faithful. If we ask Him for a divine appointment, Lord, bring someone across my path today that You want me to speak to, that You want me to testify to, that You want me to share something with about your love and your goodness in my life. God is so faithful. Always bring that person over your path. Because we're sitting here tonight and we're all of the same persuasion. We love the Lord. We've tasted, we've seen His goodness. But take a look around. There's a lot of empty seats and there's a lot of more people out there that are not in church today that do not love the Lord yet than what they are in church. And so the Lord has given us that awesome responsibility. And guess what? We cannot do it without His help. We cannot build the kingdom of God without the help of the Holy Spirit, without the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. God doesn't give us something that we don't need. He doesn't waste time. He doesn't do things for aesthetic purposes. Everything that God does has a very important reason behind it. And so the parable that precedes the talents is the one of the 10 virgins and their lanterns and the oil. Now you've got to understand, the Lord is talking about the Holy Spirit. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's also a symbol of anointing, of power, which I'm going to explain to you is the second distinct experience with the Holy Spirit, is one of anointing. The first one, those who come to Christ receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's a second experience with the Holy Spirit, which is about power, anointing, enablement to do what God asks you to do. And that requires a surrendering, a yielding to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. So, you will go to heaven without that second experience, but you will not live an effective life as a Christian, as a believer, and you will not fulfill your God-given calling. Because when Jesus created you, and He knows why He made you and the purpose that He has for you in this life in terms of His kingdom, He predestined you to have the fullness that He wants to give you. The Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is not just for a few people, it's for everyone. God doesn't discriminate. He's not a respecter of person. He gives to everyone. Everyone who went, when Jesus said, I have to go because I have to send the Holy Spirit, go and wait in the upper room in Jerusalem. 120 people were waiting for the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. All 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just the 12 disciples. All 120 is for everyone. There's no super Christians. There's no, die ou's a groot Christen. You know, nothing like that. There's no groot Christen and klein Christen. Okay? You're either son of God or you're not. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit or you're following your own nose? What are you doing? Let's read that together. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Okay, they were minus the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Next. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Okay, again, that the Lord is instructing his disciples. He's weaving these important truths into the story. And he's putting it in their language. I mean, weddings were a big deal in those days. And, you know, obviously today as well, but even more so then. And they understood, his disciples understood the weight of what he's busy saying here. And you can see it's important, the language that is used. The door shut. I don't know you. Watch out. The Lord is coming. Are you ready? Are you following the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are you on the path? Without the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are not on the right path. It's a package deal. We serve a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You cannot ignore the Holy Spirit. The church today is very guilty of that. We do to the Holy Spirit what the Jews did to Jesus. They said, well, we are worshiping God the Father. We don't need you. Let's crucify you. And we say, we've got God and we've got Jesus. You know, I'm not so sure about the Holy Spirit. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I don't know his function. I don't know if he's really important. You know, it's kind of like a nice to have. No. The Holy Spirit is coexistent with God, co-eternal, co-equal, co-powerful, co-eternal, all these things. The Holy Spirit is a person. And Jesus left so that we could have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now you've got the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. We're talking here about the power of the Holy Spirit. So that when Jesus returns, he can find us faithful. He can find us on track. He can find us doing what he asks us to do, ready for him. Because the foolish virgins were also waiting for the bridegroom. Believers also waiting for Jesus to come back. But they're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. They are not ready. We need to sort out our relationship with the Holy Spirit if we are not there yet. Or if we've let that grow cold. It's a sensitivity that we need to cultivate once more. Because most of the time, the Holy Spirit is that still small voice that leads us. That voice behind you that tells you the way that you should go. We need that sensitivity. Are we hearing the voice of God? He speaks through his Holy Spirit. Now, God is on the throne in heaven. Jesus Christ is next to him, interceding for us. He's ascended. He's the risen Christ. The Holy Spirit is busy executing God's commands on this earth. He's the one directing the church. We need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need his fullness. It's not just about his presence. Today, more than ever, the world needs to see the power of God. Because there's so much counterfeit power out there. Infiltrating every part of society and media and everything. Children these days, they grow up saturated with these images and, I mean, these cartoons and there's shape-shifting and magic. I mean, almost every Walt Disney movie has a sorcerer or someone in it, a witch. And children are being exposed to magic and stuff like that. And that's when they get to high school and someone approaches them from the occult and witchcraft, and they're fascinated with that. No, they should be already at Sunday school learning about the power of God, which far surpasses anything the enemy can come up with. So that when that person who dabbles in witchcraft comes across their path at school, they can show that person what real power is. Not destructive power, power to heal, stay healed. Powerful miracles. words of knowledge. They'll be able to tell that guy where it all went wrong in their life, and that God loves them and God has a plan for their life. Those 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. Are we moving in those gifts? Are we operating in that? This year, I trust that as a church, we'll also grow together in our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, even when we're together here. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit out there when we're reaching the lost. Some people need to get miraculously healed before they'll even consider giving their life to Jesus. And you know what? God isn't intimidated by that. He'll do that. Are we prepared to pray for them for a miracle healing? Or are we going to think, I don't know, that's pretty bad. I don't know if God can heal that. No. We serve the same God that Peter and Paul served. When the lame walked, when the deaf ears were unlocked, when the blind saw again, when the lepers were cleansed, it's the same God we serve, and the world today needs it more than ever. But technology has advanced, and we'd rather book someone in at the doctor's or the hospital than pray for them. I tell you, I have quicker results with prayer than going to the doctor. I always ask for prayer first. And I always pray for my family before they go to the doctors, because most of the time they get healed. And I'm not making that up. God is good and He wants to move today. He wants to heal us. He wants our lives to be a testimony to people out there. People are meant to want what we have. They're meant to be banging down the doors of this church and saying, we want to know your God, because we can see He's doing great and mighty things. But this year, we're going to grow. This year, the Holy Spirit is going to be a focus point for us. We cannot allow ourselves to get distracted and to allow the noise out there to deafen the sound of the Holy Spirit's voice. We need His leading. The world, in Romans 8, it continues to say, the world is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. The world needs to see a people that is led by the Holy Spirit of God, a holy people, a people that are on the path of holiness, a people whose lives are marked with the power of God. It's not spooky stuff I'm sharing with you. It's all in the Word, and there's many, many people today that are living it and experiencing it. This is why the church, Christianity, is the fastest growing faith in the world. And most often, it's growing fastest in places where there's heavy persecution. Because in those places, you have to decide, it's all or nothing. You're not a lukewarm Christian in China. If you're not sure about Jesus, you're not going to follow Him, because you're going to get locked up anyway. So you better be all or nothing. And those guys that are all in it, they're moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and people are getting healed, miracles are happening, and that's why more and more people are getting added to the church every day. China is the fastest growing church in the world, and it's the biggest church. And it's an underground church. And yeah, we've got freedom. South Africa is one of the countries where we're the most free to serve Jesus Christ. And I think maybe the rate of growth in the church and the kingdom coming in South Africa is maybe of the slowest. Because we're not really under any pressure. We can decide tomorrow if we want to serve Jesus. Because someone's not going to demand an answer from us today. Are you serving Him or not? Because if you are, there's consequences. So we're kind of getting lackadaisical, and we're not allowing the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we need to get back there. No one else can do it for you. You see, the virgins, the foolish ones, wanted oil from the wise. And they said, no, there's not enough. You know, you get a portion, your bit. You need to ask for it. You need to go and get it. Don't wait till it's too late. Just start leading a supernatural life, a life that truly glorifies God. Don't wait. Don't wait till Jesus is knocking on the door to say, okay, Lord, let me go and talk to my neighbor now before you take me. No. Ask for that fullness tonight. And go and talk to your neighbor tomorrow, because maybe Jesus is coming back on Tuesday. You never know. No one knows. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be on that track. Our lanterns need to be trimmed. The oil needs to be topped up continuously. We need to be ready. Because Jesus is on his way back. We don't know when he's going to arrive, but he's on his way. He's coming back. That is his purpose. He wants to come back. He's waiting for us. But he's not going to tarry forever. He is coming back. If God needs to, he'll do what the church hasn't managed to do instantly, and then he'll come. But he's not going to tell us then, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Again, doesn't mean we're perfect. Means we're trying. Means we're following. Means when we mess up, we go back. We don't do the obvious thing which most people do, is run away. No, we go back. Our Father is loving. He's waiting for us to embrace us once more. Okay, can we pray together? Would you like to stand with me, please? Okay, so it's very simple. This is all clearly laid out in Scripture. And if you have any questions or don't, if it's new to you or if you don't believe what I'm saying to you, you're welcome to come and we can chat about it later, or make an appointment. We can chat through the Scriptures and everything. But I do want to give you an opportunity right now if you want to. So I'm just going to make the invitation plain. If you want that second experience with the Holy Spirit, the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, access to those 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, miracles and healings and faith and words of knowledge and words of wisdom and discernment, tongues and interpretation of tongues, those gifts of the Holy Spirit. You want to move in those gifts? Because God has, when he created you, he created you in mind with certain gifts that you would operate in. And the one who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit can operate at a basic level in all 9 gifts. If you first on the scene, there's an accident, that person needs a healing, and you've never operated in the gift of healings, you're the only Christian there, you got to trust that God will give you that gift to heal that person. But most often you'll move proficiently in 1 or 2 of those 9 gifts on a regular basis. And God gives it to you to meet a need. Not so that you, at the drop of a hat, can say, hey, look here, look what I can do. Ching, ching. You're not the man of the hour of power. God is the miracle worker. We are vessels to be used by him for his glory. When he moves supernaturally, we give him the glory for that. This is how God is glorified. They'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, this brings people into the body of Christ and into relationship with God when they see God moving, because now suddenly God is alive and real. The gifts are there to build the church. Okay, so how you receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist says in Matthew 3, he says, one who is greater than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He's talking of Jesus. He said, so what we do is we ask Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. You've got to know, when you ask Jesus for something, he's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you. He's going to give you something that will bring glory to him. It's going to demand that you walk out and step out in faith at times. So God's going to say, I want you to go and heal that person. It's like, what? Do it. Okay. So what we do is we just pray together and we say, God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And then it's done. You receive it by faith. It's nothing we have to do. You don't have to like shout it or jump up and down 3 times or like, really, I want it, you know. It's something you do in faith. If you have it on your heart to pray for that, if you want that, if you want that supernatural life, you want the fullness that God has in store for you, and you pray that, then you receive it. It's a done deal. God doesn't want to withhold anything from us. The word also says that if a son asks his father for bread, he'll not give him a stone. If he asks for a fish, he'll not give him a serpent. How much more so will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him for it? God doesn't want to withhold anything from us. So if we ask him, then we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then you can start moving supernaturally. You'll enter a new, deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit where you'll hear his voice. And I want you to expect to hear his voice because he wants to talk to you. Always. He's always got something to say to you. If you just stop and ask him, he'll have something to say to you. And that's a part. That's a part of listening, you see. Now it's not just me coming to God with my wish list. Now I'm listening. Lord, what are your instructions for me for the day? Who are you going to bring across my path? What do you want me to do? What do you want to do through me? Now life becomes exciting. Every day, a new opportunity, a new challenge, a new way to glorify God. And that is awesome. That is a joy that's really amazing. And so we can talk about those things another time, the different gifts and how to move in them. You know, and we've got discipleship courses in church that we encourage everyone to go through this year. We've called it the Encounter Series. And we're all going to do it together. And there we're also going to learn about these things. Okay, and we've got good resources and materials that will kind of spell it out very plainly and show you the scriptures that you need to see and all of that. Okay. So that is the group I want to pray for first. So let's just bow our heads. And so I just want to ask you, if you want that, if you haven't asked Jesus yet to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and you want that relationship with the Holy Spirit, you want that fullness of God, then just raise your hand. And I'm just going to pray for us. Anyone want that? Thanks. Okay. Well, how it's going to work, there's a few people that raised their hand. Is I'm just going to pray, and you can just follow my lead in the prayer, just to make it easier. But when you pray those words from your heart, then know that you receive that. Okay. It's what's happening in your heart right now. And I just want to encourage you as well, if it feels like this is quite a challenging thing, it's just the Holy Spirit laying it on your heart. This is something that God wants you to have. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you a gift tonight. It's not just for a few people, okay? So I'm just going to pray sentence for sentence, and you can pray it after me if you so wish. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you live in me. I desire the fullness thereof. And so now, Jesus, I ask you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Minister to me. Speak to me. Instruct me. Lead me. Use me for God's glory. Teach me about the gifts. Guard me against pride. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I am now filled with your Spirit. Thank you that I'm now anointed by your Spirit to continue the work that Jesus started. To heal the sick, to set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you asked for that sincerely from your heart, then you've received the fullness and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's a very exciting thing. Aside from meeting Jesus, giving your life to Jesus and getting baptized, this is the next point of order in your life, and it's exciting. This signifies a big step in your growth in the Lord and your effectiveness as a believer and what God has for you. Okay, and never as a believer is life all plain sailing. And I want to encourage you to surround yourself with believers as well. At times, I mean, we need to get out there and minister to the lost, but we need to have believers, solid believers around us that can help us. God has given us to each other also to help keep on the right track. Because we all have the Holy Spirit and we can help each other in the wisdom of God to stay on the track. And that's why, as we said, if you're not in a small group yet, please get in a small group. That's where we build relationship in the church. And these are the people that are going to be instrumental in keeping us on track and so on. So it's really awesome. There's a second group. I just want to pray one more prayer before we go tonight. And that's maybe if you've already received the infilling of the Holy Spirit before, but you kind of struggle with that liberty to move in the gifts, or you feel maybe there's been somewhat of a quenching of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And you really want to surrender once more. You want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. You want to allow the Holy Spirit to lead, and you kind of want to let go of the steering. So I just want to pray for those people. If there's anyone like that here, just raise your hand. Let's pray together. Amen. Okay, you can just pray after me. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you again for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I repent of quenching the Holy Spirit. My heart going hard towards His instruction. Not being sensitive to His voice. Of preferring to do my own thing. And tonight, I bring myself before you, God. And I choose to yield to the Holy Spirit once more. Holy Spirit, lead me. I am a son of God. God, come and do great and mighty things through me. Use me, God, for your glory. Make me sensitive to your voice once more. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you that you desire to be intimately involved in my life. Thank you that I can have relationship with you. I bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to challenge you to expect to hear the voice of God, to hear the Holy Spirit's prompting. Expect it. At any time. Expect the Holy Spirit to sometimes wake you up in the middle of the night. This morning, we had a testimony of one lady in church was woken up the other night in the middle of the night, and she just felt she had to start praying, and she looked at her phone, and just like a few moments later, she had a message from a friend that was in labor. But the Lord had alerted her to this, and she was just praying intensely for this friend. And about 5 hours later, she got the message the baby had been born, but the doctors were in a panic because the umbilical cord was wrapped around the baby's neck twice, and it was in a knot, and the baby was panicking and everything. And the doctor was an atheist, but the mom and the husband, they just started praying when they saw the doctor panicking, because he was like dropping instruments and stuff like that when he saw the cord wrapped around the baby's neck. And they just started praying. And once the baby was delivered and fine, the baby's 100%, you know, they said, yeah, that's just God's grace. And the doctor said, yes, that's God's grace, you know. And he was a proper atheist. And that's just like, just a testimony also of how God uses the body together through the leading of the Holy Spirit, waking up someone in the middle of the night to pray for someone else. You know, when we're sensitive and when we are open to the Lord to use us in that way, then the Lord can do that kind of thing. You know, and God wouldn't have let anything happen to that baby if she didn't wake up. The Lord would have woken up another believer to pray, or maybe there were others praying as well. But the question is, do you want to be part of God's plan? Do you want to lead a supernatural life? Because if you're building a house and your builder doesn't pitch up for a few weeks, you're going to fire that builder and get another builder to finish the house. And we are like that. We are God's fellow workers. We are the builders. And if we say, no thanks, I don't want the Holy Spirit, I don't want to be involved in healing anyone or doing anything or whatever, God will just say, that's your choice. He doesn't force himself on anyone. He says, okay, I'll choose someone else. But you forgo your reward. So I want to encourage you and challenge you. Be open 24/7, because God doesn't sleep. And people encounter challenges, and people are at times of need at any time of the day or night. Maybe you're on the way to work, or maybe it's at work with a colleague that you don't even know yet, or something like that, and God just leads you to share with them. Okay. And so God also doesn't do hit and runs. Maybe sometimes we're just a link in the chain, and maybe we're not the last link to getting the person into the kingdom. We play a role, but it's always worth inviting the person, making another meeting with a person, following up with a person that you minister to if you can. If it's someone at work or someone you know, I'm not talking about someone on the bus that maybe you never see again. That's from somewhere else. But if you can, you follow up that God didn't bring that person across your path by coincidence. There's no such thing. And so if you've ministered to someone, if at all possible, you follow them up and you talk to them again. And where you can, you invite them. Invite them to your small group. Invite them to your home. Invite them to church. God wants people plugged in to the kingdom, into church. And you are in this church because you like this church, so invite them to this church. We want to disciple people. That's why we're here. If there's no one to disciple, then we can pack our bags. We want people here. We want the empty seats filled. And we're moving to a bigger venue. More empty seats. Praise God for that. We're going to be in a school, and we're going to start off in a double classroom. Can probably fit in 150 people there. We're going to be together, the morning service and the evening service again. We're together, so there'll be a few more people, but there'll be open seats. And when we fill that place, then we've got like a 1,000 seat hall that we can fill. So don't ever feel that my church is getting a bit too full. There's no such thing, okay? If we fill that hall, then we'll go to Cape Town Stadium or whatever. All right, but the kingdom must come. And God wants to use us to share with the lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So I want to encourage you, this year is going to be a big year, and it is your choice. Do you want to partner with God in that? Do you want to experience the joy of building with the Lord? I want to encourage you, there's no greater joy than being on God's page, part of God's plan. So the Lord bless you. It's going to be an exciting year. And just remember, if you don't have a specific plan yet, follow the general plan. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in this church. We all want to do what Paul said. To know God. That is his goal. To know God. That's what we want to do this year. We want to grow in knowing God. In knowing his purposes. So the Lord bless you. Have an awesome week. you're welcome to some tea, coffee, and cookies before you go. Have some fellowship before you go and enjoy small group this week, and we'll see you Sunday. Okay, we'll keep everyone posted on the developments when we move and so on. Thanks.